We don't usually read from the book of Leviticus because it's not a good deal of liturgical regulations for the Levites, Leviticus. But in this chapter 23, there's the liturgical calendar. I don't know if you've ever kind of thought about that, you see. Like, we still celebrate Pesach, right? We still celebrate Passover. And it's, for us, see, it's on the Sunday after the first full moon of the vernal equinox. It's still measured by that. And that's why on a year when the Orthodox and the Uniates, or the Catholics, have the same day for Easter, it is just bedlam in Jerusalem. There's maybe a million extra people in that little place, you know, because it's Pesach and it's Easter. Now that's important, I think, because the wisdom, everybody has, you know, the communists have a big parade every May 1st. I mean, it's in human nature to sort of abide by the time. The difference is this, that the church is not in time. Time is in the church. We take time and have it serve the Lord and serve our service. And it begins here, you see. And so, Passover of the Lord falls on the 14th day of the first month at the evening twilight. That's Pesach. The next day is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then, you see, for 7 days after that, eat unleavened bread. Why? To remember what God has done. The key in a real life of faith is memory. Lizkor. Memory means what? It means having what God has done for us so present to us that we're different. It changes us to think of what God has done for us. And it does for our lives and for the whole church, you see. And so, on each of the 7 days of Pesach, you shall offer an oblation to the Lord. And then on the seventh, the last day, another sacred assembly, a moed. And then he goes through the rest. This is the liturgical calendar, Leviticus 23. Reap your harvest. You shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, who shall wave the sheaf before the Lord so that it makes, in other words, it's to thank God for the gifts that come out of the ground. You see how secularized our whole, you know, we have a feast day and then we go right back to work. Or we, hopefully we have a feast. In Holy Russia at one time, there were 130 days off a year. Before the communist revolution, they weren't much into work, you know, but they had these holy days all the time. You see? Then the Shabbat, and after that, the wave offering, you count full weeks, and on the seventh week of the 50th day, you present the new cereal offerings to the Lord. Pentecost, Shavuot, the 70s. The 10th of the seventh month is the Day of Atonement. First, we celebrate the giving of the law, and then we ask pardon because we haven't kept it. You see? And then the 15th day is the Feast of Booths. And then that's the day when we remember all that God has done, getting his people out of Egypt. And they lived in tents, And they remember this every year. And it was on the last and greatest day of that seven-day, eighth-day feast that Jesus stood up in the temple. Remember, this is the commemoration of the wandering through the desert, which means God's care through the water and the rock, through the manna. God cared for his people. And that's why they live in tents. They live in Sukkot. Huh? They live in tents. Yeah. And so on that last and greatest day, the ceremony is one of them. The priest has a big silver vase. And in procession, he goes down to Siloam and draws water, comes back up and pours out the water, because part of this is in the fall. Part of this is also a prayer for rain. As much as they don't get along, the Muslims and the Jews, the Muslims all wait to see if it's going to rain on Shavuot, because that means everything will be great, you know. Funny life, different. Anyway, but so it was on that last and greatest day. And this water ceremony, that Jesus stood up and said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. And as it says, from out of his midst there shall flow living rivers of living water. Now he said this of the Spirit, which was not yet, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. The Spirit existed, but it wasn't. Was only after, and that's why John is so careful to tell us, huh? From out of his side there flowed blood and water. Because this is all about the provision of water and manna for days, you know, years. I say all that because what's happened to us is we have these days and we go to Mass and think about it for a little while, but they're not real. You see, again, the church is not in time. Time is in the church. Time serves worship. That's why, you see, and we still keep the Shabbat. It's on Sunday in honor of the resurrection. Not on Saturday, but on Sunday. And if you have never read the Pope John Paul II's encyclical, Dies Domini, on the day of the Lord, you ought to. What can you really do? Well, you can rest, you can care for the poor, you can visit the sick, but you can't make money and make your, you know, it isn't, and fix up your house. And No. This is a day for the Lord. Now, we're not very good at that, as I'm sure you know. Over in Israel, of course, Shabbat is Saturday, right? It's tourist day, right? In Jerusalem, all the tourists are out buying stuff. But if any Jew opens his shop on Sabbath, they'll throw rocks right through his window. When over in that, there's another part of Jerusalem where it's like here, you know, nothing. But I just think it's important to realize we do something with our bodies so that our spirits will be impressed with what God has done for us. That's the whole purpose of this. All right, I'm not going to try commenting on the gospel because we'll be late for lunch. Though it's important, you know. The brothers and sisters of Jesus, to this day they talk this way. That's my brother. It's really his cousin, but I mean, it's my brother, you know. They talk that way. It's not a big deal at all.